Now, with the Black Star update report, then I'll just begin by reading and then branch off. There's more and more red value showing up in the seismic chart for those of us. For those of you that are following the research, then we're really in uncharted waters here. And since the investigation began, we discovered the 188-day cycle. You can just Google 188-day cycle. And see, I'm not the only person that realized that these earthquakes were happening. The peak of the earthquake season has been getting later, my apologies, by about 12 days each year. So the big Chile quake was February 27th, 2010. Next year, Fukushima, March 11th, 2011. Next year, Guerrero, March 20th, 2012. And they kept going later and later and later by an average of 12 days all the way to April 25th, 2015 with a 7.8 Sumatra quake. And then here I am building predictive models based upon the history, what's happened since 2004. And now everything is changing. It appears that the magnetic repulsion between the sun and the black star, as this thing's getting closer, the sun wants to repel it, like two magnets coming together the wrong way. So the gravitational influence has been primary while the black star is at some distance. But as it's getting closer and closer, that magnetic repulsion force is the black star falls into the gravity well pretty darn far and then is repelled. And what's happening, apparently, because I don't know for sure, but the evidence seems to indicate that there's a transition taking place in the orbit of the black star. It's coming in at some distance on an elliptical orbit path, but the gravitational forces are increasing by the square of the closing distance, while that magnetic polarity strength, that magnetic repulsion force, is growing by more than a cube of the closing distance. If we're talking about two static magnets, then that force would be growing by the cube of the closing distance. The difference is that the black star's power source, its source of electromagnetism, and magnetism is coming from the sun. So if you listen to suspicious observers and many of the heliophysicists around, then the sun is going to sleep. But they don't know why. Supposedly we had a second spike in solar cycle 24 for the peak. First one in 2011, second one in 2015. So if that's true, why is the sun blank of sunspots just a year after reaching solar maximum? That doesn't make any sense at all. So the astrophysicists, they're not giving us a lot of commentary, because there's things happening out there that they cannot explain. The heliosphere protecting our solar system from the interstellar wind has shrunk more than 25% now in the last 10 years. It's collapsing. The sun appears to be going to sleep. It appears to be a solar minimum right now. But the reason is because the black star is siphoning its energy from the sun, and so the magnetic polarity strength potential is growing for the black star as it's diminishing for the sun, which means we're not dealing with two static magnets here. We're dealing with a sun that's a giant magnet, and its magnetic polarity strength is getting weaker and weaker and weaker, which is why the heliosphere is shrinking and why Earth magnetosphere is weakening at the same time. Some scientists say 50 times faster than they previously thought, because the sun and the Earth are connected through a magnetic portal connection, and that is going to actually be the source of Earth magnetosphere. The energy coming from the sun through the magnetic portal connection is being translated into that magnetic field. And it's weakening because the sun is weakening. But generally, I mean, if you look at it, if the solar output weakens, we don't need as much of a protector. So it makes sense. The sun's at peak performance at the top of solar cycle 23, for example. That means that the Earth is receiving extra doses of electromagnetism and magnetism, and that makes a robust magnetosphere. So as the sun gets more powerful, the Earth magnetosphere gets more powerful. And as the sun's its reach is shorter, its the heliosphere is getting weaker, then Earth magnetosphere is getting weaker also. So apparently this magnetic repulsion force between the two stars is getting more powerful as the black star gets closer, and this thing has apparently moved only 3 degrees left in the orbit diagram over the last 12 months. So our alignment event for 2015 was on April the 25th. Our alignment event for this year so far, it looks like it's going to be April the 28th, the 7.3 Sandwich Island earthquake event. So I'm still wrapping my head around what's going on. I'm searching through the information. We had 5 new volcanic eruptions for this week. That was 3 last week and only 2 the week before that. Extremely low values for where we're supposed to be in the cycle. Last month, the 4 values for the 4 weekly values were 9 new volcanic eruptions, 7 new volcanic eruptions, 8 new volcanic eruptions, and then 9 again. So we're seeing an average of about 8 new volcanic eruptions for each week in April, and that average now is about 3. Now, these are indications that we passed between the 2 stars in April, and now we're moving away from the black star towards that 90-degree right triangle position at outside orbit position. Now, the way that we determine when we get there is this is the week or 2-week period that we have sub-200 values for the 2.5 to 4 magnitude earthquakes. There's a lot of numbers in there. Those following the research know what that means. These indicator earthquakes, the smaller ones, this is the number that goes up and down in a very predictable way. And when we're near the alignments on the front side and back side, these numbers go way up. And then whenever we are at outside orbit position at the 90-degree angle relative to the black star or relative to those alignments, then we're seeing the smallest number of these earthquake events. So when is that going to come? It's supposed to come in the 3rd week of August, some distance away. And for this week, we only had 204 of the 2.5 to 4 magnitude earthquakes. We're almost at the sub-200 now, which means we have to have a bounce for next week. We have to. This value cannot keep going down. Cannot see that happening. It's going to bounce up and down, and then about the 3rd week of August, if the current modeling is correct, then we're going to get to those sub-200 values. Also, the five magnitude earthquakes, we had only 18. Well, before I get into that, the average that we're supposed to have for the 2.5 to 4 magnitude earthquakes for week 16, that's what we're in right now, week 16 of this Earth orbit cycle, then that average is around 260 on the high end of the scale, and we're only at 204. That's why the 204 earned a red value for the chart. Way, way, way. We're 60 quake events below normal, what it's supposed to be. The 18 value for the 5 magnitude earthquakes, that average is about 40 is what we're supposed to have for week 16 going look over the last few years. And that is not happening either. In fact, last week, and I apologize for missing the radio show last week. It was a technical issue apparently, and well, we're back on time for this week. But what I'm looking at the bottom of the chart, and this is on page 3 of this volume 22, that I'm both of these 18 values for the 5 magnitude earthquakes are in red letters because they are extremely low, way lower than we're supposed to be. The larger magnitude earthquakes, 6 to 8, then that value has been 3 for the last 3 years running. So we had 1.7 and 2.6s last year, week 16. No red values for those. That part looks exactly like it has for the last few years. But these 2.18s right together being red, I cannot go back in history and from my research and find 2 sub-20 levels for the 5 magnitude earthquakes together like this anywhere near an alignment. It just doesn't happen. These values are in the 20s, and 30s, and in the 40s. Should not be sub-20. Now, what this is an indication of is that the original hypothesis is correct, that the black star moved only 3 degrees left in an entire year in the orbit diagram, that it has dramatically slowed down. So what this means is about the first week in February, we reached that 90-degree angle where we have the minimum number of those smaller magnitude earthquakes, and then the Earth turns around in orbit because we're orbiting around the Sun, and we start moving towards the black star. Well, we had a gigantic April because the black star was moving so slowly, the Earth was able to catch it moving at 66,000 miles per hour. See, Earth relative velocity, orbital velocity, let's just say it's 66,000 miles per hour. It averages, that's the average, because it's going to be just over 65,000 miles per hour in July when we're at aphelion position, and just over 67,000 miles per hour at perihelion in January, around January 2nd, 3rd. Just say it's 66,000 miles per hour. Earth is in a relative circular orbit. It's not exactly circular, but, you know, just to get yourself a picture in your mind what's going on here. So from February, March, and April, the Earth was catching the black star more rapidly than it had in any previous orbit cycle, because remember, on previous orbit cycles, the black star has been moving 12 degrees left in the orbit diagram in prograde fashion. So the Earth, at moving at 66,000 miles per hour, wasn't catching it so quickly. We caught it very quickly on this cycle. We caught it in late April, just like we did the year before, because it hadn't moved that much. And it also means once we went between the two stars, which is on this cycle, appears to be April the 28th, then that's when we saw the giant volcanic, vulcanism around the globe was dramatic, because that was our nearest point to the black star. And that means that the black star-Earth magnetic portal connection is at its shortest distance. So the Earth being very close to the black star, just think about it. When we orbit around the sun to the backside, the Earth is going to move 2 astronomical units away from the black star just from naturally orbiting around the sun. So in April, that magnetic portal connection is very short. A short magnetic portal connection means that we have the highest percentage of active internal conduits pumping that electromagnetism into the Earth. This electromagnetism is redirected solar electromagnetism because the black star is robbing it from the sun to then redirect it to the planets through a secondary magnetic portal connection matrix. It's a secondary network is what's going on here. So we're looking at these red values in the seismic chart because of how low they are. They're extremely low because on previous orbit cycles, whenever the Earth passed between the two stars, then we made the move to outside orbit position at 66,000 miles per hour, but the black star was moving 12 degrees per year at that time. It was moving fairly rapidly left in the orbit diagram. That's no longer the case. What that means is now we are outpacing the black star. We're moving more rapidly away from the black star than in any previous orbit cycle for this time period. It's just like a snail out there now compared to what it was on previous orbit cycles. So that being said, then we should expect to see lower than normal values, and that's precisely what we're seeing. So that's why I say it supports the hypothesis that the black star is moving left in the orbit diagram, but it's doing so at a very slow pace, and I'm not even confident that it is moving closer and closer and closer to the sun the way that a normal object does. It comes in, it gets too close, the magnetic repulsion force gets very powerful, the sun repels it, it moves out again, and then it comes in, falls into the gravity, falls back in, and then is repelled again. It makes these bulges, and it makes it take a longer course as it's coming around. Now, very difficult to try to envision how this works, especially if you're educated in astronomy, because every known celestial object cataloged by the automatic supercomputer orbits the sun, going faster and faster and faster, orbital velocity towards perihelion when it's nearest the sun, and then it slows down on its way out, slingshots around, slows down all the way to the far end of its orbit, aphelion position. So that's the mindset that astronomers use in trying to understand asteroids and comets, no matter if they come from the Kuiper Belt or the Oort cloud. And you can tell how far this thing fell from by its inbound velocity by doing comparative analysis to other comets that you know about. This black star, totally different. And can't say that I understand everything that's going on with it, but we're doing our best. The Earth is the best witness in this case. We're using the Earth and the planets. The testimony of Mars, extremely important on this orbit cycle, just like it was in 2012. Those who have been following my research know that if we were at outside orbit position back in January and February, and I'm saying that the Earth is going to turn around and Mars is going to be in a similar position that it was in 2012. Expect to see the Martian dust storms. I thought they would start just a little bit before May the 7th, and then that turned out to be in April 25th. Everything was happening too early. We got the M-class solar flares They came too early, and I was expecting X-class flares. They were smaller than I thought they should be. I kept expecting for a bigger uptick in May because our alignment moving 12 degrees left should have been on May the 7th. You see, so some of the things in the investigation are going exactly as predicted. In other words, the Martian dust storms did happen. The magnetopause collapse did happen. It just happened earlier than I thought. But that still supports the theory that the black star, or the explanation, that the black stars move so slowly left in the orbit diagram, that we caught it quickly and now we're moving away from it even more rapidly because it's continuing to slow down. So lots and lots of commentary in this newsletter, and what I expect to see is I want to mention we did have 5 new volcanic eruptions, but only 3 of them were on the Pacific Ocean Ring of Fire. 1 in the Sandwich Islands. If you look, open up Earthquake 3D, you'll see that a lot of deep earthquake activity over there, and that gives you the rising magma plumes that's going on over there. You could see another new island that's formed over there. Whenever that rising magma finds a relief mechanism, it finds a dormant volcano somewhere where it can relieve the pressure, then out the stuff comes. And there's a video in the last newsletter or the one before that of a new island that formed in just this kind of way. Rising magma plumes up through Earth mantle. And so we really had 3 on the Pacific Ocean Ring of Fire. 2 of those, one of them is in Guatemala and one of them is in Costa Rica. This is the area where that deep magma wave, I'm calling it a magma wave, it's from the deep earthquake activity, these rising magma plumes. And they've been creating a pattern that starts with each new Earth change uptick period. The origination area for the earthquakes and the volcanism is in Indonesia. That's where it starts. And then it moves north around the Pacific Ocean Ring of Fire, through Japan, through Kamchatka, Aleutians, Alaska, and it moves south across the Sandwich Islands, across New Zealand, across Sandwich Islands, across to South America. And that's where we had at the backside alignment, November 24th, 2015, we had the pair of Peruvian earthquakes, 7.6, more than 600 kilometers deep. So those magma waves turned the corner, South America, pushed up through to Central America, and then stalled at the southern border of Mexico. So I'm not surprised to see the volcanic eruptions, new volcanic eruptions, even through this low period, kicking off in Guatemala and Costa Rica. Then the fact that we did not see anything near Kamchatka, the Aleutians, tells me that the northern magma wave has receded. It's no longer intensifying as it was in March and April. Earth is moving away from the black star. Earth core is heating down because of the lengthening of that magnetic portal connection. And that's why we're seeing a decrease in activity. I'll wrap up the report as soon as we return. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is Terrell from Terrell3.com. Today is June 2nd, 2016. And remember, Revolution Radio is listener-supported. And I just read something where Nighthawk is looking for an investor or investors. Something to do with a farming op, some type of farming operation. And I don't have all the details. I was skimming through it rather rapidly, but you can get more information if you want to help get involved with Nighthawk. He's a really, really smart guy. I'll tell you that right now. I've been knowing him for years. And he's out there on his tractor doing his tractor stuff. The guy, I cannot believe all the stuff this guy gets done, including Revolution Radio. So I'm pretty sure you can get more information. Go to freedomslips.com, hit the contact button, get a hold of Nighthawk. You can get more and more information on what that's about. It looks like I've been disconnected from the chat room for some reason. Okay, before we go any further, you know, Revolution Radio is listener supported. I'm just a little bit tongue tied today. Apologize for that. They've raised $40, need $26.50, so way behind on the support. It's only the second day of the month, though. I'm sure that'll pick up. And get more information on Project Black Star. Newsletter subscribe if you want to become a newsletter subscriber. Want me to do your threat assessment, contingency planning, help you hook up with a survival group, neutralize black star threats, things like that. Go to terralo3.com. More information on that is over there. Then I want to mention for week 22, supporters for the research, that's Kathy, Carlos, and Ryan. They all subscribed to Terral's 2016 newsletter at terralo3.com. They did just exactly what I recommended for you guys. And then Paul, Catherine, and James renewed their subscription. Catherine is a subscriber. She's a super subscriber now. Lifetime benefits. Once you've been with me for 4 years, then you go, you surpass the $100 mark for project support, and boom, super subscriber. Appreciate that very much, Catherine. That's since 2012. She's a June 2nd lady from 2012. And then Mike and Randy made another donation to the research. Appreciate all you guys' support. Then pretty much wrapped up the Black Starter report, what I want to share with you. The magnetic pole migration, those who have been following the research, the old chart, I just can't use it anymore. It's just trashy. Now, I've written and written and written those people that provided it for years of the investigation, and I can't get anybody to answer me. So from here moving forward, we're going to use this WizAurad, whatever that is, WizAurad, WizAurad.com. Their axis drift is what he's calling it. It's actually a magnetic North Pole migration chart. That's what we're looking at here. And this week, the magnetic North Pole moved. I'm trying to look to see if there's been a bigger move in the last few years. Last week, it moved half the distance. All of a sudden, it decided, hey, we're going to pick up and get ahead of schedule again. I was hoping the thing would slow down and it would start fitting the old modeling, but it's just not going to do it. The black star is moving more slowly left in the orbit diagram, and the magnetic North Pole is moving more rapidly, and it's taking a big wide turn, wider than I've seen. So that's pretty much what I wanted to share with you. We're going to outside orbit position. The Earth is outpacing the black star very, very, very rapidly, which is the reason we're seeing the low seismicity. The really, really low 5-magnitude earthquakes, the 2.5 to 4-magnitude earthquakes, extremely low. We're just about average for the 6 to 8-magnitude earthquakes. And so I'm looking to get the outside orbit position in the third week of August. I know that sounds kind of boring, but it looks like that these values are just going to bounce up and down. Cannot predict. I never tried to predict the earthquakes other than at the alignments. The near side alignment and the backside alignment quake event. That's really it. What we can do is look at the chart to try to see patterns, and maybe we can forecast by looking at recent events where we see the deep volcanic activity. Then you're going to see some magma upwelling, and you're going to see some volcanism. You know, that's pretty darn easy. But just looking and getting the feel from Earthquake 3D of the pattern into the earthquakes, then it appears that we've gone through a global tectonic volcanic reset again. Things are happening strangely right now, and I don't see the Earth core heating up to give us these big giant events until after August. And then if the remember that this Earth change uptick period we just went through was based upon Earth orbital velocity, based upon us moving towards the black star, shortening the magnetic portal connection. Then this dip that we're in now, this extreme lull, is because the black star slowed down and now we're racing away from it. Well, the second Earth change uptick period begins when we get to that 90-degree angle position, and then we begin moving behind the sun relative to the black star because Earth is moving directly in front of the black star's headlights. Okay, so think about this for a second. If the black star is no longer moving 12 degrees per year, it's only moving 3 degrees, then this uptick period could be, well, it could kick off very slowly, very, very slowly. Now, in recent history, going back 2011, 2012, then when we got to this outside orbit position, then we saw a pair of 7-magnitude earthquakes each and every time. There'd be about a week apart, two big sevens, boom, because things cooled down, the Earth core cooled down to such a point and then began heating up again. Well, it could be that we're going back to that kind of a pattern where the Earth changes, the tectonics, the caterpillar crawl in between the tectonic plates, the cooling of the Earth core is so much because we're outpacing the black star so much that everything gets frozen. So that whenever the Earth change uptick period does come and the Earth core begins heating up, that we have several large magnitude earthquakes really close together. Now, that's what we saw in 2015. In week 34, we had that 8.3 Chile quake I told you about. The tectonic reset took place. and then we had 5 weeks of no sixes at all. 2 weeks go by, and then we have 5-7 magnitude earthquakes in a 4-week period. It could be that we're looking at that kind of a pattern, but I mean, like I said earlier, we're in uncharted ground here, and I really don't know. I really don't know exactly what's going to happen. That and another point that I make in the YouTube video update is that looking up at the seismic chart, that's getting bigger and bigger for 2016. Now we're in week 16, and I highlighted week 10. Week 10, we had 2 sevens. We had 7 6 magnitude earthquakes, 49. So we're right around that 50 number where we're supposed to be at the near side alignment for the 5 magnitude earthquakes. And we had 250 or more of the indicator quakes the week before and the week after. That's traditionally what we see at the near side alignment. If I was looking at this chart without my biased opinion for what's happened in previous years, it looks a lot like we had our alignment actually in week 10. If that's so, then that was a bounce in week 12. And we're going to get the outside orbit position way sooner than we should. So that's why I'm saying I need more weeks to go by. I need to look at the seismic data. The Earth is going to tell us where the black star is. This outside orbit position thingy could happen in early August. It's possible. So through that period, by the time we get to the end of August, I'm going to know a lot more about what's happened behind us as far as the black star goes. And then as we pass behind the sun, we'll find out when we pass behind the sun. That's when we have the biggest seismicity of the back cycle, of the last half of the orbit cycle is going to be when we pass behind the sun relative to the black star. And in kind of closing on the update report, the black star, people wondering about position, the black star is between the sun and the feet of the Libra constellation. And what that means is right now it is retrograding. Because as Earth is passing between the sun and the black star, we're moving relative to the black star, you see. We're moving from right to left between the two stars looking down on the solar system, which means from our observer perspective on Earth, the black star appears to be moving right in the orbit diagram. This black star moves left and right in the orbit diagram because of Earth moving back and forth around the sun as it goes around the sun. So what this means is I gave a lot of commentary about how the black star was retrograding into Virgo, and then it has a rebirth. It moves up to the head of Virgo, and then it actually comes back down and passes through the legs of Virgo. That scenario looks like it's on track to happen this cycle also. So there could be some mysticism, some Rosicrucian-type, you know, the guys with their pointy hats and their chanting and all that. There could be some of that going on with the Satanists and people like that, because if they know black star position, and I imagine that at least some of them do, then they are tracking it in the sky like I'm tracking it, and they are watching how it's moving forward and backwards, you know, like Saturn or any other of the other planets. They move forward and then they retrograde, same kind of thing. And so I'll be talking more about that as we get into the summer months. And the black star should stop moving right in the orbit diagram, celestially, that means from Earth's perspective, in about the middle to late August. So we'll see if that happens moving forward. And, okay, this is what I've been wanting to talk about since I first got on this, first started this radio show. Said all that so I can say this. Biggest event that happened this week, and I'm pretty excited about it actually, is you guys should be following BP Earthwatch. I've known him for quite some time, well known of him. And he was Mr. Comet Watch. I guess he decided, well, he better start watching the Earth too. So now he's Mr. BP Earthwatch. And a pretty smart guy on some things. He has his specialties where he's more intelligent, if you will, in some of his commentary. Some of the stuff he says, it's hard for me to listen to because it just doesn't really make a lot of sense. But this week, he made a good video, and I have the link right in my update report, and it's also the top featured article here. And he makes a lot of statements. He's making the connection between the magnetopause collapse that just happened and the magnetopause reversal of March 12, 2012. This is the stuff that I've been talking about all the time. And then he made the comment about the Martian dust storms. says, wait, he's scratching his head going, wait a minute. This is happening at the same time. This is as if there's an interloper, there's an intruder that's out there that we can't see that's causing this phenomenon. He sees the pattern for 2012. It's being reproduced in 2016 because Mars is in the same relative position to the Sun, the Earth, and the black star right behind us in orbit. Now remember what's causing the magnetopause reversal, the magnetosphere to appear to collapse. What's causing the Martian dust storms is not caused by direct radiation coming from the black star, as if it's releasing this radiation like our sun is releasing subatomic particles to create the solar wind. It's not the same thing. What's causing the phenomenon is the convergence of the magnetic portal connections themselves. We have massive amounts of electromagnetism running through these magnetic portal connections. When they get close together, it's like two live wires, highly charged, and the sun-black star connection has less and less insulation properties from the passive conduits as the two stars get closer and closer together. So these magnetic portal connections, just imagine when the Earth is passing between the black star and the sun, is pulling behind it two magnetic portal connections, one from the sun, the sun-Earth magnetic portal connection, and one from the black star, the black star-Earth magnetic portal connection. This explains why our planet has become bipolar. Why it appears, when you're looking down at the North Pole and looking at the weather, it appears to be cycling around two poles. That's why it appears that way. But as we're pulling these connections to get through between the two stars, we are crossing the primary star, sun-black star magnetic portal connection. And as these portals, they're making triangles at the Earth position. It's making triangles at the black star position that's beyond us. So the primary sun-black star magnetic portal connection is in front of the Earth as we're getting ready to pass through. We're dragging the second one behind, and then the angle is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. This converging magnetic portal connections, as they get close together, they begin that sprite formation, the portal-to-portal cross-firing. That creates the highly charged ionic clouds that are compressed between the magnetic portal connections, giving directionality to these ionic clouds. So it appears to be, it moves like solar wind. As it's compressed, it passes through the Earth, and Mars was in the right place to have the Martian dust storms at the same time, just like in 2012. So it's not like the black star is radiating, is releasing protons and neutrons like our sun, because the black star actually traps those types of things across the entire electromagnetic spectrum. The black star traps light within the event horizon, within the deep gravity well. That's why we can't see it. But it is connected to the sun through the star-to-star magnetic portal connection. That's where it's receiving its subatomic particle flows and the energy that it's being redirected to the other planets. Okay, so if you can kind of understand that a little bit, if you don't, then go to terralo3.com, click on magnetic portal connections, and then the magnetic portal the magnetopause reversal video. And then down in the description box of both those videos, you get links to NASA articles, help you to understand about magnetic portal connections. There's not going to be a lot of information on how these connections interact with one another. This is what's been fathomed by doing the research and through observation. That's the reason, for example, in 2012, we had so many X-class flares in March, and then again in September. And we're watching this flare activity move later in the year as the near-side alignment events happen later in the year, because the Earth is an active participant in creating these solar flares because of the portal-to-portal crossfiring. It's the magnetic portal connection that's doing it. You see what I mean on that? So I wanted to explain that. And then BP Earthwatch, it looks like the guy's trying to wake up about what's going on. And many subscribers wrote and asked if he's watching my videos. And really, I can't tell you, but I can tell you that I have written Mr. Comet Watch, BP Earthwatch, Jesse, whatever you want to call him, with lots and tons of information for years, and the guy's never answered one time about anything. In that sense, he's like Marshall Masters, like Gilbert Erickson, Gil Broussard, all these supposed Planet X experts. You know, the Planet X Nibiru movement that's going on reminds me so much of the 9/11 movement and the Dylan Avery's. If you don't know who Dylan Avery is, Loose Change Brats, loosechange.com. I guess that's a website. And then Richard Gage from AE911Truth.org. I was a member there for a long time. And actually posted the first World Trade Center 7 article in that chat room on that site there. Everything was kind of hidden unless you remember, and you had to apply. You had to be accepted. And I found out lettered agency operatives everywhere in that place. Didn't take long for me to make waves, ruffle feathers, and get booted out of there. But that's the official 9/11 movement, and there nobody is ever going to be brought to 9/11 justice. Ain't going to happen because they're run by the lettered agencies. And I think a lot of what's going on with this Planet X movement is just a lot of regurgitation of a bunch of disinformation that everybody's agreed upon so they can control the narrative. But try to get any of these guys to discuss the science, magnetic portal connection convergences, sprite formation, ionic cloud formation, even what's going on with the Earth, with the ocean conveyor disruption, jet stream anomalies, the weird strange weather patterns that we're having. These are the kinds of the volcanism, the seismic pattern, all this stuff. Jesus Christ is pointing to that in Matthew 24 at the end of the age because he's talking about the coming of the black star. Revelation, they call it a phenomenon attached to it, wormwood. And some people are calling this thing wormwood. Same way. Difference is that stuff happens 3,600 years from now when the black star comes the next time. The only prophet in the Bible that sees the black star coming is the Apostle Paul, and he says it comes like a thief in the night. The destruction comes suddenly like the birth pangs upon a woman with child. That's what happens in a springtime crossing event. The fall time crossing event happens after the black star reaches perihelion, after it's nearest the sun, and after the sun turns dark. And that's written about in Joel chapter 2, and I just got a funny thingy. Apologize to listeners. I'm a little bit freaked out over last week. I'm just waiting for something to go wrong here. It appears that I'm still online. Everything's good. Just getting some funny noises coming out of Skype. So I'm running out of time here. I have about 6 minutes, I think. I wanted to mention BP Earthwatch. Open up the newsletter. Click on the link. Read my commentary. On the name of it is Nemesis/Hidden in Asteroid Belt? And then Mars Close Approach. And for those following the research, this is like, man, this is what Terrell had been saying, that this is going to happen. So if you have any connection to Jesse, Mr. Comet Watch, BP Earth Watch, if you can try to assist him in pointing him in the right direction. I don't even know if the guy reads my comments. But this stuff was predicted in advance. And the fact that somebody is predicting in advance means you should want to at least take a little look into his research and see how he drew those conclusions about what's going on. And then Sandy sent in some stuff, thoughts to consider. That is the second featured article. And like I said earlier, there's 22 pages of my commentary here, questions and answers. More and more subscribers coming on, more and more people asking really good questions. And formulating the right question can change the narrative in a real hurry. Having more eyes, reading over the data, having more minds, scanning the internet, looking for everything possible, that's what makes a really, really good investigation. So you guys are active participants in what's going on here, and you can change the narrative by simply asking, or really, even if you don't know what to say as far as commentary over the data, asking the right question can send me out on a sideline investigation that turns up something really, really important. A good example is the magnetic repulsion model coming from a Canadian student that noticed two stars slowing down, two binary twins slowing down, coming close to each other. That's I could not even fathom magnetic binary star magnetic repulsion. Couldn't even imagine anything like that. The fact that it's in his paper. Then I did a little research on it. Go, ha, that's what's happening here. Maybe not exactly like it's happening with his modeling, but he describes the braking system that slows down the smaller star very well in his papers. So strongly encourage you to join the investigation. Get on board. It's only $25 per year. And then you have the opportunity to have lots of correspondence back and forth and to understand more and more about what's going on as far as waking people up. And then, I mean, this so far, every word of this show has been about trying to report and help to wake people up so that you can recognize the signs in the evidence, in the Earth changes, in the changes with Jupiter, Saturn. All the planets are heating up at the same time the sun's going to sleep. Why is that happening? Why aren't we getting more information out of NASA? Why is the USGS and NASA and all the lettered agencies for that matter, especially the FBI that's investigating Hillary Clinton, what's taking them so long if they're so competent? What's taking them so long just to see if the woman violated protocol, security protocol over communications? That's precisely what she did and the reason she should be in prison right now. The lettered agencies are lying to us, basically what they get down to, and they're equal opportunity liars. They're all liars, if you ask me. Whether it's EPA trying to shut down your little water, your little fish pond, they're shutting people down across this country, part of the renegade Obama administration. And I look forward to that stuff changing. Then Bonnie wrote in and asked about the Black Star looping pattern, and I'm not going to be able to get in to any more of this. Thank you for putting up with me for the Black Star Up There report. Get more information at terralo3.com. Support Revolution Radio and get more information on helping Nighthawk with his project. He's looking for investors. You can get more information at freedomslips.com. Thank you guys, and I'll see you next week.